Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star zero. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.
Hey, what's up, guys? Johnson has arrived. So we'll be getting started in about 4 minutes. So 4 minutes from now, we'll get everything rolling. About 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Gonna get started in 2 minutes. Alright, just about 1 more minute and we're gonna be getting started. Okay, guys, that marks the 6 minute West Coast time mark. So I want to welcome you to the fourth week of the Seduction Roadmap Bootcamp. Thanks for being with me. I see we have a lot of callers on the line. Today I have a couple of things. First thing is I got a really awesome success story from a guy named Jimmy in the Seduction Roadmap program. So I want to read that to you guys. Jimmy writes in and he goes, "Hey John, I have to say, the Seduction Roadmap is blowing my mind. I went on a first date last Thursday, and by the time I used the eighth frame you taught last week, she was begging me to go back to my place and telling her I turned her on too much. I knew it was true because when I stuck my hand down her jeans, it was soaking. I can't wait to see what's going to be taught next and what will happen when I come to the boot camp and you customize the shit. You're the man, Jimmy, from Illinois." So that's really awesome. I know there's more guys out there who are having success with this stuff because I got a couple other emails as well. If you're having success with the Seduction Roadmap Bootcamp, please send me any success stories. I love to read those. It makes me feel like you guys are using the stuff and appreciating it. So send those to Sin, S-I-N-N, at sinsofattraction.com. Also, send your questions there. I've gotten a decent amount of questions so far. The questions will be answered in 3 weeks on the Q&A boot, on the Q&A call. So send your questions in. I won't answer them right away, but in 3 weeks when we have the Q&A call, we're going to read every single question that's been sent in by you, and I will answer all of them. So send those questions in, sinns@sinsofattraction.com, sinns@sinsofattraction.com. I also want to let you guys know we do still have a couple spots in the Seduction Roadmap Bootcamp, which is taking place May 28th through 30th. So what that means is until May 6th, we can still give you guys a discount on it. The Seduction Roadmap Bootcamp is going to be really awesome because in it we're going to customize each piece of the roadmap to your specific life story. So we're going to come up with sexual attraction stories from your real life. We're going to come up with sexual frames that match your real life and match things that you're looking for in girls and real experiences you've had. We're going to match your sexual body language. We're going to match everything up to your real life so that you no longer have to tell my stories or use my routines, and you can still get the same amazing results. There's also going to be personalized instruction, which is the real make or break on a lot of this stuff, because a lot of problems, things like I don't know what to do to attract a girl can be fixed over the phone, but a lot of stuff like body language, facial expressions, tonality, that stuff has to be seen by an expert in field, and the way you approach, your approach angles, whether or not you escalate, there's a lot of stuff that seen in field can really fix really quickly, and personalized instruction will be happening at that Seduction Bootcamp, two nights in field with a Sins of Attraction instructor. And also, I'm going to be revealing my seduction roadmap, so I'll be sharing with you guys the, word-for-word routines, stories, everything that I use. These are things that I don't even teach in this program just because I don't want everyone in the world using them. So like I said, there were 10 spots initially. We've only got 6 left. We're going to be emailing our full list about it. So that's about 20,000 guys that we're going to send out this offer to and try to get to sign up. But the price is going to go up too on May 6th. So right now you can get a spot for 3 payments of $600, only $1,800. But that price is going up next Thursday. So not this Thursday, but a week from Thursday. And then we'll probably email about it the week after that. So we still have a deal for you guys for taking the plunge and joining the Seduction Roadmap Bootcamp, and then taking the further initiative to be on the call, 4 spots later. So if that's something that you're interested in, you're looking for a bootcamp, I highly recommend that you guys come to this because it's going to be a one-time only thing. I don't think it's going to be part of the product or anything because it's going to be customized entirely to the 10 guys who show up. So 6 spots left. If you want to go sign up, go to www.seductionroadmap.com, seductionroadmap.com/workshop, workshop. So again, that's www.seductionroadmap.com/workshop. Okay, I think that's all the housekeeping news. So without further ado here, I want to start talking to you guys about unleashing a woman's sexual side. Unleashing a woman's sexual side. What does it mean? What is this whole audio module going to be about? Let's start off by thinking about what a woman's sexual side is. So every guy who's listening has had an experience with a woman that was sexual, unless you're a virgin, in which case maybe you've just kissed a girl or done other things. But you've had an experience with a side of that woman's personality that she doesn't let everyone see. Female sexuality is all about that part of her personality that she brings out behind closed doors, that she brings out when we're past the point of attraction and we're past the point of comfort, and she's now wants to have sex, right? That primitive part of her brain has kicked in that says, I want to have sex right now. One thing to remember is that all women have a sexual side. A lot of guys write me emails or they meet me on workshops or whatever, and they say, well, I don't like club girls, or I don't like party girls, or I don't like this type of girl or that type of girl. And the girls that I like, they don't really have a sexual side. They're like more demure and like they're more elegant. I'm like, you're ridiculous. Like, every woman has a sexual side. Now, what we need to think about is what stops her from showing this sexual side off, right? We have to accept the basic idea that women want sex basically as much as men, right? Women are just as sexual. In fact, their sex drive increases as they get older, peaking around 32, whereas men decrease from 18. So, understanding that women want sex, the myth that women don't want sex or that women are giving something up or you're taking something when you're having sex is just a myth. But what happens is this side is only going to come out based on certain parameters, right? And every woman's going to have a different parameter. For some girls, it's someone who has a lot of girls around him. Right, for a club girl who, you know, really cares about the club social scene, if you're with a lot of girls, that's gonna trigger parts of her sexuality. For other girls, it might be, you know, maybe the girl's been burned by players before, and now she's like a little more guarded, and that just turns her off, right? So there's these different filters that stop a woman from letting loose and letting that sexual side out. Now, we already talked a lot about how to bypass those filters. Building sexual attraction starts to bypass those filters and get the woman interested sexually. We talked about building sexual frames, which allow a woman a safe, comfortable space to kind of let loose that sexual side of her personality, right? We've talked about setting the interaction so that you, her, and the two of you together are operating in a place that's comfortable sexually. But now we want to talk about how to turn that woman on and bring out that sexual side and get her comfortable with a sexually escalating interaction and get her even more to lead the sexual interaction. Because ultimately we want to build enough compliance and enough momentum that the girl's actually escalating on us, or that she's agreeing to all escalations that we're coming up with. And that happens by unleashing this woman's sexual side. So the way we're going to classify a woman's sexual side is we're going to break it down in terms of psychology, right? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring out a specific subpersonality. And a subpersonality is, in transpersonal psychology, a personality mode that kicks in to allow a person to cope with certain types of psychosocial situations, right? That's basically a lot of scientist talk for, in different situations, different parts of a woman come out. The mode may include thoughts, feelings, actions, physiology, and other elements of human behavior to self-present a particular mode that works to negate particular psychosocial situations. The average person has about a dozen subpersonalities. So this mode may include thoughts, feelings, actions, physiology, and other elements of human behavior to self-present a particular mode that works to negate psychosocial situations. So basically, when the subpersonality kicks in, it takes over the thoughts, feelings, actions, physiology, and all other elements of human behavior to self-present, meaning that it presents not only to the person it's interacting with, but to itself. It actually feeds back upon itself. So, as you can see, it would be really, really helpful to bring out that part of a woman's personality if you're trying to get sexual with her, because it's going to change her thoughts, feelings, actions, physiology, and other elements and make herself present that she wants to get sexual. And the longer a woman wants to wait to get sexual, the more turned on she gets. Anticipation is a huge builder of arousal and a huge builder of sexual tension. One of the things that I like to think about in terms of a metaphor is that men and women are both on a train headed towards sex. It's just women are on the train about 15 minutes behind. I think that came from the Tao of Steve or something like that. But it's a really good idea because women are usually ready to have sex about 15 minutes later, physically and emotionally and stuff. So getting that subpersonality to come out and then waiting and not taking advantage of it, the more you wait, the more that personality really will start to crave sex. And that's when she'll start to do things to escalate the interaction and take control of it herself. So when we're dealing with a subpersonality and getting it to kind of self-present, we're dealing with what I like to think of as sexualized self-images. So let's talk about self-images before we get into the idea of sexualized self-image. A person's self-image is the mental picture generally of a kind that is quite resistant to change. It depicts not only details that are potentially available to objective investigation by others, but also items that have been learned by that person about him or herself from personal experiences or by internalizing the judgments of others. A simple definition of a person's self-image is their answer to the question, what do you believe people think about you? So our self-image is just the way we think about ourselves. It's the type of person you consider yourself to be. And we make these definitions and judgments about ourselves and our place in society all the time. We think of ourselves as a person who's optimistic, or a person who knows what he wants, or a person who procrastinates, or a person who is lazy, or a person who is stupid, or a person who is unattractive to women, or a person who's attractive to women. But we all have images of ourselves, and generally, we have images of ourselves that are sorted by categories. If you've ever heard the term situational confidence, it relates to the taking upon of different subpersonalities and self-images as a relation of that subpersonality. So a great example of that is a guy who, you know, is really good with women at his job. Maybe he's a bartender or a promoter or something like that. And he's used to just getting the hottest girls that come in there. And in that situation, he'll talk to anyone. You know, he knows everyone. He's very comfortable. Then you put him in a situation where he goes to maybe another bar where he doesn't know anybody, or a club. You know, and now all of a sudden he's not comfortable approaching people, and he's taken on a self-image that is maybe even 180 degrees the opposite of what he believed about himself 2 minutes ago. And the reason is that we as humans sort through our self-images, and based on our surroundings, based on the external clues from other people we're interacting with, social proof, we decide what we feel about ourselves in this situation. Facts, emotions, logic, they don't really come into it as much as the cycling through these various self-images until one fits and feels comfortable. And so what we're looking to do with the girls is, as they're cycling through the self-images that happens anyway, we want to shape this and push this towards having a sexualized image of themselves in the situation that we're in. Right, so what is the situation that we're in? She's attracted to us, we have a decent amount of comfort, and now we want to shape that she's the kind of person that when she's attracted to someone and she has a good amount of comfort, is sexually aggressive and comfortable getting naughty and maybe even comfortable being really, really dirty and doing all sorts of fantasy stuff that she's thought about but hasn't really ever had the chance to do. So that's kind of the process that we're looking to do when we're unleashing a woman's sexual side. It's that getting her to bring out that subpersonality and the sexualized self-image. And we're going to have some tools to do that that I will be talking about very shortly. Okay, so let's talk about the three tools for unleashing a woman's sexual side. These are what we're going to be using once we've built sexual attraction, once we've set our sexual frames, as we're setting our sexual frames, in fact, a lot of the time you can bounce between these, the sexual frames, and your grounding stories. You're talking about yourself. So talking about how you grew up, where you grew up, how your personality shaped your views, which shaped the frames that we're setting. So we talked about grounding a little bit on the sexual attraction thing, if you guys want to review. Now, the three tools for unleashing a woman's sexual side are, number one, cold reads. Cold reads are amazing for shaping a woman's sexual side because they allow you to get her to accept various self-images through your intuition, because you present any sort of evidence, or even just no evidence, but you are able to ground yourself as a person who is good at reading people, or you're able to ground her as someone who reminds you of a friend who was like this or that. Anything that you can do to empower these cold reads to make her accept them with real evidence is going to make them work better. We're also going to talk about sexual qualifiers. Now we're going to use the qualification process. We're going to use the compliance ladder process that we've been working on, and we're going to use that to sexualize our qualifiers and get the girls complying to sexual things. And lastly, we're going to talk about sex talk. And sex talk, to me, is the combination of being able to talk about sex as a normal subject and talk about sex in a way that's arousing, use dirty talk, things of that nature. So those are the tools we're going to be breaking down on this call. Let's jump right in to the first tool, maybe the best tool for bringing out that woman's sexual side, cold reads. I've read a lot of books about cold reads. One of the ones I recommend is a book called Completely Cold by Kenton Knepper. Another one that's really good is The Complete Book of Cold Reading by Ian Roland. Cold reading is an amazing technique for almost every area of picking up women, from attracting them to building comfort to getting them to go sexual to getting them to show up for dates. It's a really, really, really powerful technique, and it's something that I recommend you spend a little more time on than you spend on the rest of the techniques that you learn, overall, all the skills. If you spend a little more time on getting your cold reading and warm reading abilities up, then you will be much better with women. So what is cold reading? Cold reading is a series of techniques used by mentalists, illusionists, psychics to determine or express details about another person, often in order to convince them that the reader knows much more about a subject than they actually do. That last line is really important, to convince the subject that they know much more about them than they actually do. That's what we want to do with cold reading. When we're using cold reads to unleash a woman's sexual side, we want to convince her that we know her better than she knows herself, and that she wants to get sexual because we know her better, and we can tell that she wants to get sexual because that sexual side is aching to get out. Which for the most part is true about most women. Like, the thing about this stuff is it's techniques to let women get around society's judgments and stupid things that get in the way of them having more sex, which they want to do. So I don't really ever think it's that bad or manipulative. But cold reading exists with warm reading as well. Warm reading is when you know a little bit more about girls. So warm reading is stuff we want to mix in with our cold reading. And so, for example, let's say I just nailed a cold read and the girl like is really reeling. Now I want to use something that I already know about her to kind of tie it down. So let's say I'm talking to a girl and I just cold read her about something about, you know, thinking too much. And earlier she told me that she's an interior designer, right? I might now say, you know, like, I bet that when you're doing interior design, you totally spend like 30 minutes figuring out where to put a lamp. You know, like, I can tell that you're totally the type of person who like microanalyzes everything and wants everything to be beautiful and perfect. Right? Because what do interior designers want? Their job is to make everything perfect and beautiful and make you feel good about the fact that you spent a lot of money to have someone decorate your house for you. So don't be afraid to mix in the warm reads and feed her back things that she told you about herself. That sounds kind of like it wouldn't work, but you'd be amazed. Girls never seem to realize that you're just telling them things that they already told you. And people don't, because they're things that generally do tend to be true about them as well. So that's another thing to keep in mind with cold reads. Now, an important part of cold reading is the process of setting cold reads by pacing and leading. So in NLP, the process of pacing and leading refers to making statements about the current reality of an individual and then directing their attention somewhere else. So what we're trying to do when we're pacing is we're trying to get their mind to subconsciously agree with what we're saying, right? Because the more someone subconsciously agrees with you, the more authority your things you're saying are given. So, for example, if you're trying to land a really big cold read, like I gave a cold read example in one of the calls leading up to this about fractured sexual identities. I talked about that as like a large cold read. You wanted to build up some momentum with that. I got an email from a guy saying that he didn't know when to use it and he creeped a girl out. If you don't pace, if you don't get the girl to accept you as an authority first, she's never going to accept your critique of her sexuality. So by the time you're trying to land a big cold read about her sexuality, you want to have already established a lot of pacing. And we establish the pacing early on with things that she can easily agree on. So, like, let's say we're at this club Crest in L.A. I might say something like, you know, it's crazy. Like, we're here at Crest, and, you know, I can tell that it's going to be a great night. I'm really excited. You know, it's Friday night. It's getting late. All of these are statements that are pacing, and that I can use before cold reads to get the girl's mind agreeing with me before I start trying to direct it. So if you just bust out cold reads out of nowhere without a little bit of pacing first, getting a little bit of stuff that she can agree to, and later on it can be different. You know, later on it could be something like, you know, I'm so glad we met. You know, I came out tonight and I was not expecting to meet someone. I'm sure you weren't expecting to meet someone really cool either. Her mind's going to agree to that, right? You know, and then it's crazy. We've been talking all night, or I feel like, you know, I know you so much more. All of these little statements are going to make your cold reads land harder. And when you're cold reading, you want to arrange all of your cold reads in the order of pacing and leading. So I might say something like, you know, it's crazy. Like, we're at Crest. It's Friday night. Like, I can tell, you know, it's going to be a good night. But you seem a little nervous. Or, you know, I can tell you're like an intuitive person. You know, it's getting late. You know, I can tell you're an intuitive person. And I know that, like, most guys would be asking for your number now, but, like, I don't want to let you leave, so come back with me, right? All those things, and you're going to have a much better chance of landing them. So be aware when I'm going through the word-by-word cold reads that I'm going to start busting out for you guys pretty soon, that you want to use that leading and pacing, and try to think about where the paces are, where the leads are in each cold read. Because the better you understand this concept, the better you're going to get at cold reading, and you'll get there much faster as well. The next concept I want to talk about when it comes to cold reading is the idea of building a cold read ladder. Like I talked about before, we're trying to build what's known in the persuasion circles as an authority frame. Like I talked about before, the more a person believes you, the more you pace, the more you do things that agree with what the girl believes, and the more you can start leading. So when you're starting out with cold reads, we want to start out with innocuous ones. We want to start out with ones that aren't the ones I'm about to give you for unleashing a woman's sexual side. By the time you get to the ones for sexuality, you should have used 3 to 5 cold reads already. The thing is, cold reading builds momentum, because every time you're right, the person wants you to be right more and more, because it's really cool that you seem to know more about them than they know about themselves. So we want to think about cold reading in a process as a ladder. Like, each cold read is building upon itself. We use innocuous ones like, oh my God, you seem nervous. I bet you that when you get nervous, you get really clumsy. Or, you know, I can tell that when most people meet you, they think you're kind of shy. Or I can tell that, like, you definitely like to be the center of attention, but sometimes you just don't want all the pressure of it, right? Things that early on we can use to build sexual attraction or just use to build comfort. We want to build those up before we start to use the cold reads I'm about to give you, which are all about unleashing a woman's sexual side and getting her to accept a sexualized identity. All right. So I know I've strung you guys along for long enough. I want to now break out the cold reads. So don't worry, you will get written accompaniments with these where these are written down for you in order. But for now, try to keep along. So I might say something like, you know, I bet with you that people really see a totally different side to you than what your close friends might see. Like, I bet if someone asked you, like, what I just asked you, where you worked, the thing, like, what's the craziest thing you've ever done, you would probably hold back. But with someone that's, like, really close to you, they would never ask that because they were probably there when you did it. I mean, I can just tell from talking to you that you're probably one of those people that likes the kind of darker side of things, but is only really with people you're really comfortable with. So there we've got a couple of different things, right? What we're doing is we're separating the girl into parts. When you're trying to bring out subpersonalities, it's really important that you break the girl into parts, because when you name a part, it starts to become real. So, like, I bet with you, I bet that people really see a different side of you than what your close friends might see. Obviously, that's a pacing statement. Obviously, everyone's friends see a different side than everyone else. So I bet if someone asked you at work what the craziest thing you've ever done was, you probably would hold back, right? Again, a pacing statement. Most people aren't going to be talking about the craziest thing they've ever done at work. But with someone that's really close to you, they would never ask that because they were probably there when you did it. More pacing. Again, we're talking about crazy things. She's thinking about all the stuff she's done. What does it mean? It's slightly sexual. I mean, I can just tell from talking to you that you're probably one of those people that likes the darker side of things, but only really with people you are really comfortable with. There's our leading statements. I can tell just from talking to you that you're probably one of those people that likes the darker side of things. If you just say that to a girl, she's going to reject it. If you put the pacing in front of it, she's going to accept it. And now you're building momentum. And then, again, you go back to the pacing. Only with people you're really comfortable with. Well, she's getting really comfortable with us right now. We're having this conversation. We're building comfort. You know, we're doing all of the other things that build sexual comfort. And we're also bringing out that sexual side image and showing her that she can do that and she can be sexual and we don't judge. All right, next cold read. Okay. This one starts. Have you ever been in one of those relationships that's totally selfish? Actually, you know what? Forget I said that. I bet you can be someone who totally takes and takes and takes. Men are probably afraid to break up with you, so they do a bunch of stupid shit that gets them dumped anyway. You know, my ex-girlfriend really was someone who never had a problem with maintaining attraction. I was always attracted to her, but with you, I can tell that you can actually push men away. That's just like my gut opinion. You know, sorry, in the field I work in, I'm paid for my gut opinion. Okay, so let's look at that one, broken down. Have you ever been in one of those relationships that's totally selfish? We're just using that question to frame our cold read, right? It doesn't matter if she answers it or doesn't answer it. Ideally, she, like, is hesitating, and then you can go, actually, forget I said that. I bet you can be someone who, like, totally takes and takes and takes. Like, men are probably afraid to break up with you, so they do a bunch of stupid shit so they get dumped. Every girl in the world has had that experience where a guy was afraid to break up with her, so they did a bunch of stupid stuff that got them dumped. You know, and again, it's flattering and it's leading, right? Now we've led her, and now we need to now pace, right? You know, my ex-girlfriend really was someone who never had a problem with maintaining attraction. Like, I was always attracted to her. Now here we're tying it down. We're framing this a little bit to let her know why we understand that. And then now we're going to go for one more lead. With you, I can tell that you can actually push men away. You know, that's just my gut opinion. And then this part's actually from one of my stacks. So in the field I work in, I am paid for my gut opinion. That cold read is really, really effective because it frames her as someone who takes and takes, which she's going to want to push back against, right? It also shows her as attractive, but, you know, someone who pushes people away. So now her natural inclination is not going to be to push away, but to go closer, because this cold read is actually what I like to think of as a pushback. That means we're saying it so that the girl actually does the opposite. In general, we want to switch up our pushbacks and our cold reads we want her to accept against, right? Because if we just keep telling the girl how she is, then eventually she kind of starts to disagree, or she just, you know, it might not take as easily. Whereas if you give her a mix of pushing and pulling with your cold reads, you're going to have a much better reaction. You're going to get her to do the things that she wants to do. All right, here's another example. I can see you as being way too hesitant to things that you like to do and more aggressive over things like, wait, you totally have to have all the lights off when you're with a guy. That's totally like the difference between a couple that has like public displays of affection and a couple that like will be normal in public but like sneak off somewhere and have sex in a bathroom. I can tell you need that excitement. You don't have fantasies about things like sex at work or in public, do you? Okay, so sex in public, sex at work, those are very, 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 very common female fantasies. Super, super common. Most girls have them. And here, we're going to kind of use a couple of different things that we want, right? We're using a mix of pushing and pulling here, right? So we're pulling her in when you say, I can see you as being too hesitant about things that you like to do and more aggressive over things like dot, dot, dot. Like, you purposely want to stop that thought here. And then, as if you just had another thought, say something like, wait, you totally are the lights off when you have sex, girl. I can tell. So that's where we're pushing her away. Now we're combining the push and the pull with these cold reads, and we're framing her as being hesitant about things that she likes to do, which she can accept, and then more aggressive over things, but then not too sexually out there. And then, you know, it's like the difference between a couple that has public displays of affection and a couple that sneaks off and has sex in a bathroom, right? Like, I can tell you need that excitement. Right now, we're framing her again, and we're cold reading her as someone who needs that excitement of public sex and fantasies. And then we ask her a question. We go, you don't have fantasies about things like sex at work or in public. It doesn't even matter if she answers. What I'm looking for is I just want her to have like a little look of like confusion, and then I want to be like, oh, you are trouble. I might like you a little too much. And now I've totally escalated things, and I can go back to a normal talk. So that's a really, really, really effective cold read. That's one, as you can see, this one's getting more and more sexual though, so you're gonna need to have more and more rapport and comfort and compliance from landing other cold reads before this. Like, you can't lead off with this cold read. Okay, here's another one. I can tell that you either have an older brother or you have always gotten along with older men. In fact, I bet with your friends you can be kind of dramatic, but here's the other thing with you. When you have a problem with yourself, you're actually a very private person. I bet you're actually really good at keeping a secret. Okay, so a lot of stuff happening in this one too. Starting off, we have some pacing. I can tell that you either have an older brother or you've always gotten along with older men, right? If she has an older brother, you're going to look like a genius there. She's going to really feel like you know her. most women feel like they get along better with older men. Most women date older, starting in high school. You know, there's various studies and statistics that say that men mature 5 years later than women or whatever. But that's a pacing statement that she's just going to accept. And then we lead. In fact, I bet with your friends you can be kind of dramatic, right? Every girl can be kind of dramatic, right? We're leading her towards a more emotional route, but we're also pacing. And here's the other thing with you. Here's the other thing. This is the thing with you. Something I noticed. I can tell that. Those are like transitional phrases within a cold read. Those allow you to transition and lead from pacing to leading in a really smooth manner. When you have a problem with yourself, you're actually a very private person. You can actually be really good at keeping a secret. So there again, one of those sexual frames pops up, right? Good at keeping secrets. That's important. When she has a problem, she's very private, right? She's not the type of person who kisses and tells. She's not the kind of person who, you know, everyone has to know about. She's not the kind of person who has a reputation. All of those things are really, really important. So this cold read, a little less sexual, right? You can actually use this one before you can use the one that we just talked about with the public sex. So this one you can use, you know, even as you're building attraction, this one would work. And at the same time, it's also opening up that sexual part of the woman, because you're getting her to frame that she's a private person. She can really be good at keeping secrets. She gets along older with older men. She's emotional, dramatic, and really, really effective. Next cold read. The thing is that with you being a woman, you actually had to deal with that much more than I, right? That can be related to anything. A girl, you know, talk to a girl about going on dates, talk to a girl about talking to douchey guys in bars, talk to a girl about being judged sexually, judged for her looks, anything really. Any gender stereotype between men and women is something you can use to launch this cold read. What most guys don't get is that women are more sexual than men. It's just how they express it is socially ridiculed by society, so they often feel uncomfortable about it. If most guys just knew how to let women be women, things would go a lot easier in relationships, right? So here we're cold reading her that it's not that women aren't sexual, it's just how they express it, right? So she can express her sexuality in a way with us that will not be judged. So the thing is that with you being a woman, you actually had to deal with that society judgment much more than I. What most guys don't get is that women are more sexual than men. It's just how they express it is often ridiculed by society and they feel uncomfortable about it. If most guys just knew how to let women be women, things would go a lot easier in relationships. The phrase, let women be women, is a really, really good one for using with girls. I know it's probably a little dated, but that song, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, like there's something about women's duality that when a guy can express that he understands that women need to feel like women, it's universally attractive and universally starts to bring out this subpersonality in women, because it basically pushes the button that says you're an insider and you understand the way women think and feel sexually. And so maybe even if she doesn't want to sleep with you yet, just letting her know that you're on the inside at least makes her comfortable and at least gets her to believe that she can open up her sexual side with you, even to discuss it. And as things tend to go, the more you discuss this stuff with women, the more it leads to sexual escalation and sex. So this is a really, really good one. The thing is that with you being a woman, you had to deal with much more judgment in society than I did. What most guys don't get is that women are more sexual than men. It's just how they express it is socially ridiculed by society, and they often feel uncomfortable about it. If most guys just knew how to let women be women, things would go a lot easier in relationships. All right, and that wraps up our cold read section. So I gave you 5 cold reads that you can use in various parts of the interaction. It's up to you to figure out what order those 5 should go in. So get out there, experiment. Like I told you, the more sexual ones come later. But throw those into an order. I'm specifically not giving you an order so that you go out and use these and figure out where they fit in the model. Because that's the stuff that supercharges things moving towards sex. Now, the next thing I want to talk about also supercharges things towards sex, and that's the idea of using sexual qualifiers. So qualifiers are used for a variety of reasons. They're used to demonstrate reasons why we like the girl. They're used to give her statements of intent, compliments. They're used to build momentum, and they're also used to move forward in the interaction. So in my model, I think of different types of qualifiers. There are qualifiers for attraction, things like can you cook, little funny teasing qualifiers. There's qualifiers for comfort. That's your bait hook reel releases, your frame qualify prep releases, your basic ideas of qualification where you get a girl to give you reasons that you should like her, and then you reward her for that. Compliance-based qualification, as I like to call it. And then there's sexual qualification. And sexual qualification is something you can't start to do until you've really got a lot of momentum, until there's a lot of sexual tension in the air. You've built sexual attraction, you've set the sexual frames, you've used your sexual cold reads, you've used things like strawberry fields. You've made out with the girl already at this point. There's an air that it's on that the two of you are very, very sexually attracted to each other. And sexual qualifiers are used to screen the girl for sexuality and get her used to complying sexually. Compliance is all about asking a girl to do something and her doing it. Sexual compliance is all about getting her to comply to talking about sex, describing sex, talking about herself and her sexual habits and her sexual abilities. Getting her to actually qualify herself on her sexual abilities is doable and also is something that builds a ton of momentum moving towards sex. Once a girl has gone to the level where she's trying to convince you logically to sleep with you, a lot of good things are happening for you. So you can also use I like girls who statements. So you have your bait hook reel release, rapports, your frame qualify prep releases, and your I like girls who statements. So that's going to be what we're going to use to sexually qualify. Let's give some examples. First example is a bait hook reel release rapport. This one you can use about 20 minutes in once you've started to frame sexually. And so you're going to bait. You're going to say, what is your favorite place on your body to be kissed besides your lips? Most girls are going to say ears or neck. If a girl says anything besides ears or neck and you can't actually kiss it, ask her what she likes between ears and neck. Then you're going to reel her in by kissing her neck, then her ears, and saying, so you think this, kissing her neck, is better than this, kissing her ears. And then you're going to release it and say, that's all you get for now. So let's go through that again. This time I won't talk out the parts. So I'm talking to a girl. I'll say, what is your favorite place on your body to be kissed besides your lips? She'll say, my neck. I'll go in and kiss her neck, and I'll go, so you think this, kiss her neck, is better than this, kiss her ears. And then I'll push her away physically, not hard, and go, that's all you get for now. What we've done is we've gotten her to, by answering that question, neck or ears, qualify herself sexually, qualify what she likes sexually. And then we've asked her another question which she doesn't have to answer. And that whole point is, we're getting her used to qualifying herself and then rewarding her with physical escalation, right? What happens with compliance is it builds momentum. And so when you're sexually qualifying and you get her used to qualifying herself to you and then getting physical rewards or getting any sort of reward for using her sexuality to win you over, she's now going to get more sexually validated, feel more comfortable and mixed in with the sexual frames, the sexual attraction, and the cold reads. There's now going to be rocket fuel in the air because every time she's complying, she's getting turned on. All right, next go to our next example. Next example, here we're going to use a little bit of an old-school concept. So we're going to use a bait-hook reel release rapport, but what we're looking to do here is we're looking to do a little bit of a sexual value elicitation. Basically, we're looking to figure out what she likes about sex, but we're going to do it in a really non-weird way. So as you're talking to the girl, I might say, okay, you know, I have to ask, what are you into sexually? And she'll answer. You know, maybe she'll say something like, well, you know, I really like rough, hard sex where I get my hair pulled and I get held down and we get really sweaty and close. Now I'm going to reel her in. No matter what she says, I'm going to be like, that's hot. And now I want to feed back her description to her. So be like, that's hot. You know, when you're like, when it's like really rough and you're really together and it's hot and it's sweaty and you're like, I'm like holding you down. Like, ugh. And now we're going to release. As soon as she starts to seem like she's into it, we release. We go, we better stop before I need a cold shower. And then we're going to use the sexual momentum to ask another sexual question. We're going to ask a rapport question. What's the weirdest place you've ever had sex? Because that push-pull that we throw in the middle is enough that we're fractionating. We're getting her turned on. We're figuring out what she likes for later so that when you start to escalate sexually, the girl says she likes rough sex that's like sweaty where she's getting held down. You should like hold that girl's hands behind her back when you make out with her, or like, you know, put your hand near her throat and see how she reacts, because she obviously likes rougher sex. If she says she likes it like sensually and smooth, you should put music on and like dim the lights. Basically, you're getting an idea on how she wants to be seduced, and then you use that to build more momentum. So one more time. What are you into sexually? She answers. We're going to go, that's hot, and feed back whatever she just said. So let's say this time, I go, what are you into sexually? And she's like, I really like being on top, and I really like, you know, slow and long and deep. I might say, that's so hot, you know, like, I could just imagine if you were on top of me and I was just slowly and deeply, we have to stop. I am going to need a cold shower. Actually, what's the weirdest place you've ever had sex? And now we can start to ask another sexual question, get her more aroused, and stop it. What we want to start doing is we want to start that process of getting her turned on, stopping it, and then getting her turned on again. That fractionation of sexuality and arousal is really important for unleashing a girl's sexual side, because it creates that sexual tension and that sexual frustration, the anticipation that she wants to be touched and she wants to get laid. When in that success story that I read earlier, the guy talked about how the girl was wet when he put his hand down her pants, and that's very common when you get good at fractionating between sexuality and arousal and normal stuff. All right, I want to give you guys a couple more examples. I'm not going to go through full routines or anything with them, but do you spit or swallow? Like, you can definitely ask girls if they give head, and then if they spit or swallow. If a girl tells you she spits or swallows, she will have sex with you. You can use anything that you like girls who are turned on by. Like, I like girls who are turned on by hair pulling and biting and, you know, kissing and rubbing. Like, whatever you like, you can say, I like girls who. You can ask her on a scale of 1 to 10, how good of a kisser are you, and then ask to rate her. And you can also ask, what kind of girls do you like? If a girl qualifies herself that she likes girls, you're bringing out that sexual side of her, bringing out that part of her personality that makes her sexual decisions. Okay. That's going to be the end of sexual qualification for today. Now, the last thing I want to talk about in this module is sexual talk. And sexual talk refers to discussing sexual subjects, dirty talk, and sexual statements of intent. So I'm going to try to guide you as normally as possible through the world of sexual talk, because it is very important to escalating things verbally, and it's something that most guys never really got a crash course on. So when I'm talking about discussing sexual subjects, I'm talking about discussing past sexual experiences, sexual fantasies, things that turn you on, things that turn you off, things that turn her on, things that turn her off, her past sexual experiences, because if you can get a girl talking about her past sexual experiences and things that could have been better or different or things that she's always wanted to do, that's going to move you really, really far forward. Dirty talk is, I'm going to touch on briefly. I'm not going to give you dirty talk examples because I just can't do it to guys. And sexual statements of intent, which are basically statements that are meant to arouse her and give her mental images of sex, get the idea of hot sex on her brain. So let's break it down. Example number one. This is one of my favorite sexual statements of intent. This actually came about from my buddy Captain Jack. We were on a boot camp in Scottsdale, Arizona, and during the boot camp he met this really hot pilot, and he was talking to her inside, and he said, "If no one was here right now, I would bend you over the table and take care of business." And then he told me that line, and the next night I used it to take a girl home. It's a really great statement of intent because, again, nothing to object to. The golden rule of statements of intent, whether or not they're sexual, especially if they're sexual, is that you don't want to give the girl anything to object to. So it's not, you know, "I want to bend you over and take care of business." It's, "If no one was here right now," something that can't happen because you're in a busy club or a restaurant on a date or anywhere where there's a lot of people around, "I would bend you over the table and take care of business. If no one was here right now," in fact, you can just use the phrase "if no one was here right now" and use any other common female fantasy. You know, "I would, you know, do this, that, or the other to you." All right, moving on. Next sex talk example. What is your biggest turn on? This is just a question you should ask every girl. Like, what is your biggest turn on? What really turns you on? You know, if you're scared about asking this question, you can lead into it by asking, "What's your biggest turn off?" So, you know, I might be talking to a girl about an ex-girlfriend that I had, and I might say, "You know, it's such a turn off to me when girls kiss and tell. Like, what's your biggest turn off?" Okay. And then she answers, and I go, "Okay, now I have to ask, what's your biggest turn on?" Getting a girl to talk about her turn-ons is the first step to bringing out that sexual side of her. Getting her to just acknowledge that there are things that turn her on, to be a sexual creature, is a really big part of it. You should always ask girls that. Next sex talk example. "You have no idea what I'm thinking about doing to you right now," or "You have no idea what I want to do to you right now." This is a great one for later on in the interaction, for when you've already made out with her, you know, maybe it's getting close to closing time, and you know, "You have no idea what I'm thinking about doing to you," or "You have no idea what I want to do to you right now." Then you want to use dirty talk, because a lot of the time the girls are going to ask you what, and if you give a lame answer, you're blown out. So you want to think slow, sensual. Use feelings language. You know, "I would caress your back. I would, you know, bend you over. I would pull you on top of me. I would kiss all down your body." Like, make a thinking. And you want to use a deep, sexy voice. Like, that Yin Yang Twins song, Whisper Song, like, that's kind of like good voice tone. Like, oh, like breathy, like, you know, it helps to, like, breathe out. It's super sexual predator in Saskatchewan. I'm doing it on the phone here as we're recording this module. So I'll leave you with that. But you have no idea what I'm thinking about doing to you. Wait for her to ask what, and then use dirty talk to describe slow sensual imagery in a deep, deep, scary voice. All right, that's the last one of those. Okay, so those are our three tools. We talked about cold reads. We talked about sex talk. We talked about sexual qualifiers. Let's recap everything we learned on this call. So first, we defined a woman's sexual side. We talked about what it is. Every girl has it. It's that sub-personality and sexualized self-image that she accepts in the current situation. When to unleash it? You want to first build sexual attraction, then set your sexual frames, and as you're setting your sexual frames, we want to kind of vary it up between grounding, sexual frames, and unleashing a woman's sexual side. So we talked about sexualized self-images. We explained the three tools. The three tools for unleashing a woman's sexuality being, number one, cold reads. And again, those sexualized cold reads that I taught you guys, as well as the ones that you can use a little bit earlier. And you want to make sure that you build up a cold read ladder so that you're not using sexual cold reads as some of your first cold reads. We talked about using sexual qualifiers. Using sexual qualification to build compliance, move the interaction forward, and rewarding the girl both physically with physical escalation like kissing, touching, and rewarding the girl verbally with, you know, feedback and compliments and statements of intent. And lastly, we talked about sexual statements of intent. Those are the last things you use. And those come right before you're ready to relocate the girl to somewhere where you're going to try to have sex with her. So don't use those early on, because those will creep a girl out if you use them too early. Generally, you're going to mix up. The cold reads are always going to come first, and then you'll start mixing in the sexual qualification and the sex talk and the sexual statements of intent, which is part of sex talk, and then ultimately leading to dirty talk, where you're trying to arouse the girl and get her sexually turned on enough to leave with you and go back to your apartment and screw each other's brains out. So that's the whole part of unleashing a woman's sexual side, is getting her to the place where she's ready and willing to do that. Now, as you know, I like to give you examples. So I have two exercises I'm going to give you guys today. The first one is I want you to pick three cold reads and build your own cold read ladder. There are at least two of those five cold reads that are not sexual at all that you can use as your first cold read. There's a couple that are more sexual that you can use as your last, and the other ones you can figure out go in the middle. Write it out and practice it in front of a mirror. Before you even bring it out in field, write it down in handwriting and get in front of the mirror and practice it two or three times, until you start to get a feel for how to deliver these cold reads in a way that makes it seem believable and in a way that doesn't seem scripted or pre-acted out. And then, once you've done it two or three times in front of the mirror, I want you to commit to using it in every set for the next week. That means you're going to try to throw out all three of those cold reads as long as you've talked to a girl long enough that you get into comfort. Once you've gotten a girl attracted and you've started to set some sexual frames, start throwing out those cold reads and trying to get through all of them. That's our first exercise. Our second exercise is, like I said, I don't get too much into the dirty talk stuff. There's some good resources out there for you. Don't use porn as a good resource on dirty talk. That's not good dirty talk. But what I want you to do is I want you to practice recording yourself using some dirty talk or sexual statements of intent. The idea here is you need to have a good sexy voice. Like a dirty talk sexy voice is very important for getting women turned on. It does a lot of good things. It also plays on the psychological factor that when you talk in different voices and you name different parts of a woman, you can talk to different parts of them if you speak in a certain voice. So by dropping your voice and having like a sexy, breathy voice only when you're escalating sexually and getting her aroused, she's going to be more aroused. So record yourself talking for 2 or 3 minutes in a sexy, dirty voice, then replay it and record it again trying to sound sexier. Repeat this until your voice sounds good to you, like it sounds sexy and it doesn't sound silly or weird. It can be really hard to figure out in the beginning, but once you get it, you'll start to hear it, and it'll actually sound like something you could imagine a girl being turned on by. It'll probably always sound a little silly and weird just because it's yourself, but it'll sound like something that you could imagine a girl being into, and that's the real point. So that's going to wrap us up for today. Thank you guys for being on the call. Be sure to send in success stories and questions to sin, S-I-N-N, at sinsofattraction.com. And I will talk to you all soon.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star 0. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.